Article title, SIMDIT Part 3, The Hardware Abstraction Layer. Content, Link 2, SIMDIT 1, Link Text, Part 1, Link End, discusses the generic idea, Link 2, SIMDIT 2, Link Text, Part 2, Link End, the electronics. Please make sure to read them to make the most out of this article. I built the electronics from part 2 and besides one tiny mistake already fixed in the plans and the Git repository, all components work as expected. This was a surprise for me as well. This article describes the hardware abstraction layer, or HAL. This is a piece of software that abstracts the physical nitty-gritty things and offers an easy and simple access to the states of the buttons, rotary encoders, and the analog values. Only relevant parts are shown here. Please refer to the Git repo for the full source. Subheader: The Interface --constructor SIMDIT HAL --initialize void begin --brief read current state from hardware --param interrupt true if called from an interrupt void read from hardware bool interrupt --brief has a rotary input changed. UINT8T rotary changed --brief has an analog value changed. UINT16T analog changed --brief has a button changed. UINT64T buttons changed --brief get single rotary value --param num number of encoder --reval delta value for the given encoder. Int8t get encoder uint8t num --brief get analog value --param num number of analog values --reval analog values uint16t get analog uint8t num const --brief get state of a single button --param num button number --reval button's status bool get button uint8t num const --global millis value static uint32t m millis. These are the exported functions from the layer. Basically the usual suspects, a constructor and the begin function. The read from hardware is the main acquisition function and it needs to be called as often as possible. It reads the values from the external hardware and stores the information in internal data structures. Access to these is done with the following functions. First you got the XXX changed functions that set bits if one of the values has changed. For example, if the first analog value has changed, the bit 0 in analog changed is set value equals 1. If the second button has been changed, pressed or unpressed buttons changed return to second bit set. After each call to the functions, the internal bits are reset. If some value has been changed, you need to fetch the actual value. These are the getXXX functions. For the buttons or analog values, this is obvious. The encoder returns the number of clicks since the last fetch. Clockwise rotation increased the number. Counterclockwise decreased the number. Subheader: Reading analog values. Let's start with reading the analog values. This is the easiest one. If mbill is mnext analog read --only scan analog every analog interval ms. mnext analog read equals mbill is plus analog interval --save old state. Int16t last analog value equals mcurrent analog values manalog num --scan analog value. Mcurrent analog values manalog num equals analog read analog in --set changed bits. If last analog value not equals mcurrent analog values manalog num, manalog changed equals 1 manalog num --set mux value for next round wrap to 0 at 16. Manalog num equals manalog num plus 1 and 15 --set output. Digital write analog MUX 3, M analog num and 8. Digital write analog MUX 2, M analog num and 4. Digital write analog MUX 1, M analog num and 2. Digital write analog MUX 0, M analog num and 1. The read from hardware functions stores a global time in M millis. Calling the MILIS function disables interrupts, so it is a good practice to have one global time variable and only call MILIS from one central position. Since we scan the analog values slower than technically possible, who needs several thousand of updates per second, we store the next time to read in mNext analog read and set the time when we read. This will be repeated for other types as well. We save the old value and read the new value in and set the internal changed bits if needed. Since we use a multiplexer to map 16 analog values to one physical pin on the microcontroller, we need to tell the muxing chip to switch to next input. It takes a moment for the chip to switch, so we do this at the end and give the chip time until we read again in a few milliseconds. Currently this is set to 12 ms. The update rate for the analog inputs results in 12 ms x 16 values equals 192 ms or roughly 5 updates/s. Should be fast enough. Subheader. Reading rotary inputs. While interrupt digital read ROTINT. ROT changed equals true. Interrupt equals false. UINT16T ROT equals MROT encoders dot read GPO app. For UINT8TI equals 0. I8. Plus plus I, m rot changed equals m rotary encoders I dot update rot and 1 not equals 0 rot and 2 not equals 0 I rot greater or equal 2 /// quick return if rotary encoder changed. If rot changed return, our rotary encoder IO chip MCP23017 has an interrupt pin that it can set if one of the inputs changes. We use this to trigger an interrupt on the Arduino and set the interrupt parameter when calling the function. The while loop checks the flag and does not read the input. This saves a few clock cycles on the first run. Encoders change fast when turning, so we need to be quick here. When reading the data with read GPOAB, the internal change pin is reset, so our input pin as well. We use the returned values to optionally advance our encoder counters. The line looks scary, but is actually not complicated, just optimized. On each iteration, we look at the two lowest bits of the ROT value. In the first iteration, those are inputs 1 and 2 of the MCP23017 IC with ROT and 1 not equals 0. We check if the bit is set and pass that to the update functions. The same for pin 2. The function returned true if the input was changed or rotation happened or false if not. To set the right bit, we need to shift this 1 or 0 to the right position and add the bit to the existing change flags. Shifting left and right is the key here. In the first iteration, when I equals 0, left shifting with 0 does nothing. On second round I equals 1, we set the second bit ASO. As the final step in the loop, we modify our result value by right shifting, so that next round we still have to check for the lowest two bits, but this time this will be the next input. If the rotary input has been changed, we bail out of the function to save some CPU cycles. If we saw one change, there is a high chance that another will happen very quickly. One click in the encoder results in four changes in very short time. Subheader. Reading key matrix. The key matrix is similar to the analog value function, /// scan key matrix. If mmil is mnext key scan /// only scan analog every key scan interval ms. Mnext key scan equals mmil is plus key scan interval /// save old state. Uint 8t last buttons equals mcurrent buttons mkey row /// read column bits. Mcurrent buttons mkey row equals mkey matrix dot read GPO 1 /// set changed bits. M buttons changed mkey row equals last buttons mcurrent buttons mkey row /// set row bit wrap 8 to 0. Mkey row equals mkey row plus 1 and 7. Mkey matrix dot write GPO 0 XFF 1 mkey row 0. Here we do the check for the interval. Save the button values. In this case, we save a full row 8 inputs. After this, we read the button state in. The buttons changed is a bit harder to read since it works on the full 8-bit at the same time. The magic here is the XOR function. If both bits of the compared bits are the same, the result of the XOR operation is 0, so no change. Similar to the analog multiplexer, we finally select the next row. Since the rows are normally high and only low for the current active row, we quickly create this spizor again. First we set the bit we want to set 0 by shifting 1 over how many times we need. Sor with all bits set 1 0 XFF results in all bits high except our 1. Again, it takes a little bit of time, so we switch the row at the end so that the next time we can read directly. Reading one row at a time every 24 msx 8 rows equals 192 ms. The same 5 updates per second rate. Subheader. The rotary encoder logic. Bool simdit rotary colon update bool a, bool b. If a equals equals m a return false slash slash no change. If a and exclamation m a slash slash rising bit a. If b plus plus m delta else m delta. M a equals a. Return of the functionality here is simple. If a did not change, return false. We only do work if a goes from false to true a rising edge. If such a rising edge is detected, we look at the status of B. If it is positive, increase the counter, else decrease it. There are many explanations about how and why this works. No need to do this here again. Important is just the fact that we return true if we change the counters. Since the first if catches the unchanged case, we can just return A. If it went from true to false, no change could happen. If it changed from false to true, we always modify the counter. Subheader. Glue and testing code. To do a quick testing, we just hard-coded the first 4 analog values to the first 4 joystick axis and map the first 32 buttons from the key matrix to the joystick as well. That way we can quickly validate if the inputs seem reasonable. The rotary counter are just printed to serial for now. Slash 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 main loop. Void loop. Hal.read from hardware outstanding rot interrupt. If outstanding rot interrupt. Outstanding rot interrupt equals false. Return. If Hal.mmill is next update and Hal.mmill is rollover interval return. Next update equals Hal.mmill is plus update interval. Uint8t rotary changed equals hal.rotary changed. If rotary changed, for uint8ti equals 0, i7, plus plus i, if rotary changed and 1, slash slash temporary debug output, serial.printfrot, serial.printi, serial.printf equals, serial.println.hal.getencoder i, slash slash end of temporary debug output, rotary changed greater or equal 1, UINT16T analog changed equals HAL.analog changed. If analog changed, for UINT8TI equals 0, I4, plus plus I. If analog changed and 1, UINT16T analog equals HAL.getAnalog I, slash slash temporary debug output. INT16T analog mapped 16 equals map analog. 0, 1024, minus 32768, 32767, switch I, case 0, gamepad.x axis analog mapped 16, break, case 1, gamepad.y axis analog mapped 16, break, case 2, gamepad.z axis analog mapped 16, 8, break, case 3, gamepad.rx axis analog mapped 16, break, default. Break. Serial.printf analog. Serial.printi. Serial.printf. Serial.println analog mapped 16. Slash slash end of temporary debug output. Analog changed greater or equal 1. Gamepad.write. UINT64T buttons changed equals HAL.buttons changed. If buttons changed. For UINT8TI equals 0. I64. Plus plus I. If buttons changed and 0xff slash slash quick check for 8 bits at a time. If buttons changed and 1 slash slash temporary debug output. Serial.printf button. Serial.printi. Serial.printf. Bool pressed equals hal.get button I. Serial.println pressed. If I32. If pressed. Aimpad.press I plus 1. Else. Gamepad.release I plus 1. Slash slash end of temporary debug output. Buttons changed greater or equal 1. Else. Buttons changed greater or equal 8. I plus equals 8. Again, these are just parts of the code. See the repo full the full source. This concludes the hardware abstraction layer. Next article will create the profiles and custom mappings to make it extra crazy.